on building a happy life. 3. Speaker, Teacher Cai Li Shi. Hello, my friends. Good morning, everybody. We mentioned in the lesson yesterday that the stability of the world, society, and family actually is not impossible to achieve. The key to it is in the thoughts of each and every one of us. If we are selfish, then conflicts will occur. On the contrary, if we are always considerate of others, our families and society will then be stable and healthy. We also mentioned yesterday, if children can put themselves in others' shoes at a young age with their good thoughts, they are cultivating and accumulating their good fortune. Because of the good thoughts, their aspiration for studying is to become saints and sages and contribute to society, using the virtues and wisdom that they have acquired. So they will surely know how to create fortune for society when they enter it. As a result, they will accumulate more good fortune and consequently enjoy good lives at old age. The Chinese talk about the five blessings: longevity, wealth, health, cultivating virtues, and peaceful death. And one of them is good ending, that is to die peacefully without agony. A Chinese folk saying goes, "I hope you do not die unpeacefully." It sounds like a curse, but it is no longer a curse nowadays. What is it? It is a common phenomenon nowadays. I remember when I was young, I would often hear news of elderly persons passing away peacefully in their sleep. Do we often hear this kind of news nowadays? Not often. How come people in the olden days could leave the world peacefully, whereas nowadays, people often need emergency treatments or are comatose before they die? This is because they do not know how to look after themselves and to cultivate good fortune. With insufficient good fortune, there is no way they can die peacefully. So for people to have good fortune, the root is still in having a good heart. People of the past were more kind-hearted. They were considerate of others in every thought, so they had very free and painless deaths. Nowadays, people are more selfish. Even on their deathbeds, they could still be thinking of personal gains and losses. They cannot let go of their attachments. If we want to enjoy good fortune in our old age, we should keep good thoughts and let go of matters at any time. Do not be obsessed with matters. Many people think that we would be helpful to society only when we are working, and we can no longer contribute to society when we are old. We feel that the golden time of benefiting society is from 20 to 60. Many career planners share this sentiment. In fact, if a child can receive sages' teachings from an early age, then the amount of time that he can contribute to society is certainly not only 40 years. Let's review. Since young, a child has benevolence and morality in his heart. What could happen? We have previously mentioned a real-life story about a 2-year-old child. On the first day of school, he went back home and his parents asked him, "What have you learned today?" This child immediately replied with enthusiasm, "I should be filial to my parents." His parents were shocked. This 2-year-old child had such a steadfast and solid learning. When he went to school the second day, his teacher invited the class to share the filial acts they had done for their parents over the previous week, because a learned knowledge can show its value only through practice. So we should apply what we have learned at home. Many children said that they prepared water for their parents to wash feet, or peeled fruits for their parents to eat. Seeing the elder brothers and sisters had done these filial deeds, the two-year-old child was inspired to emulate their good deeds. My dear friends, adults teaching children is one approach, and learning from other children is another good method. The second approach is what the Chinese say, observing and emulating good examples. This child, upon returning home from the second class, immediately went to get a teacup and serve hot water for his parents to drink. My dear friends, he has such good thoughts at the age of only 2 years old. As an old saying goes, the field of good fortune is cultivated with one's mind. With good thoughts and deeds, this child is already cultivating good fortune at a young age. Meanwhile, his conduct of self-cultivation will also move his parents. Seeing their two-year-old child serving them water and being considerate of them at all times and all places, his parents would probably also feel the urge and duty of being filial to their own parents. From this perspective, the child has already started harmonizing with his family. I have spoken about this child's story all across China, as well as other countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, and Indonesia. Because of this child's genuine effort in self-cultivation, we are able to share his story and encourage more people around the world to emulate him. So if a child receives sage's teachings at an early age, he certainly does not have to wait until the age of 20 before his life starts to shine. What age will his life start to shine? If a pregnant mother plays a CD of sage's teachings, such as Di Zi Gui, the first words that her child utters might be the first line of Di Zi Gui. The guidelines for being a good person are exhorted by ancient sages. You see, the child has already started promoting sage's teachings ever since he was born. His life will be meaningful from a very young age. Moreover, if a child reads books on sage's teachings, his wisdom will increase day by day, by benefiting society when he grows up. He will be more valuable as he grows older. Wherever he goes, there will be many young people following him. It is because the young people can receive much inspiration from him and avoid unnecessary mistakes and obstacles. So the lives of those who receive sage's teachings do not end at the age of 60, but become more valuable as they grow older. My teacher, Professor Master Jin Kong, is 79 years old this year. Wherever he goes in the world, there are hordes of students who want to receive his teachings. Not only Chinese people want to receive his teachings, people of many religions and ethnicities around the world also want to follow this elder, this teacher. So the value of his life certainly did not end at the age of 60. When will it end? It will never end. It is because his teachings originate from his utmost sincerity, and utmost sincerity can transcend time and space. According to the doctrine of the mean, sincerity should be applied from the start to the end of everything. Sincerity will surely bring success. When possessing with utmost sincerity, one will be as spiritual as deities and can receive blessings from one's ancestors and the divine beings. Words and conduct from a sincere heart will not lose their impact due to changes over time and space. So, my dear friends, has Confucius died? His spirit lives forever and sets a good example for generations to come. Is Fan Zhongyan dead? In 2002, an event was held in mainland China to promote classical Chinese text studies amongst the Chinese around the globe. Chinese from many regions such as Malaysia, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Indonesia all gathered in Chifu, Shandong. Some of the distinguished guests at the event were living descendants of Fan Zhongyan. More than 800 years have passed, and Fan Zhongyan's descendants are still very successful. During the event, I met two of them. I saw that one of them had a wide face and long-hanging earlobes. Chinese would say he had strong facial features that show wealth and nobility. You see, Fan Zhongyan's teachings, even 800 plus years later, still have an impact on his descendants. This descendant sang a song on stage at the event in Chifu. It was adapted from one of the poems written by Fan Zhongyan, The Account of Yuyang Tower. When he was singing the line, "Be the first to worry about the affairs of the world and the last to enjoy the happiness," I believe Fan Zhongyan's spirit would feel that he lived a worthy life and that he did not come to this world for nothing. If our children can receive sages' teachings at a young age and learn to manage their lives with sincerity and love, it is most certain that their lives will hold everlasting value. My dear friends, as a parent, as an elder, what kind of life would you like your children to create? This question is very important. Would you like them to set an example for generations to come, or just not to die from starvation? Our views and thinking will directly influence our offspring. Dear friend, as a human, we should bring forth aspiration. Since we know that traditional Chinese culture can solve our social and global issues, we must take this responsibility as an indispensable duty and have the courage to walk the walk. Dear friends, we do not have to lose our heads or spill our blood. We only need to start from where? Start from self-cultivation. Many great accomplishments started out small, taking it step by step. As an important teaching from the Great Learning states, from the Son of Heaven to commoners, all must take self-cultivation as their fundamental responsibility. It means that regardless of whether one is the leader of a nation or a mere street vendor, in order to govern a country properly or to harmonize his own family, where should he start from? Start from improving his own morality and intelligence. Only when we have morality and intelligence can we then harmonize our families, govern a country, and achieve world peace. Such complex matters, if we make a painstaking examination, they are actually very simple. We have learned that we should always have benevolent and compassionate thoughts. When each one of us becomes benevolent and compassionate, our global society will move towards the Great Concord World. Now let us think a step further. Where should we start cultivating a heart of benevolence and compassion? From where should we begin to develop the compassion and benevolence in our hearts? We must figure out the first step. What is the first step? Well, if we delve into the fundamentals, the real truth will reveal itself. If a person is not filial to his own parents but treats others with love and respect, will you believe in him? There is a line in the classic of filial piety, "Loving others while not loving one's own parents is a deviation of virtues." This is against nature. So during this class, I had asked some young ladies, I asked them, if there was a man, very vigorously courting you, paying 10 years' worth of effort every single day, Nowadays, is there still this kind of extreme effort towards courtship? Not so much. Let's say he chased you for 3 years, persevered for 3 years as if it was one day. Whatever you asked for, he would fulfill with his entire heart and soul. As long as he had time, he would accompany you to have coffee, go hiking, and go on outings. But he never ever once sat down for a cup of coffee with his parents and never once went hiking with them. You felt great with his performance of these 3 years, and he proposed to you. Suddenly, an elder who just so happened to be his neighbor told you, "This man has not been treating his own parents with filial respect." So I asked those young ladies, "Would you marry him? Yes or no?" "No!" Some of these ladies hesitated for a second. Those who are closely involved usually get deluded. If even then they were hesitant, in the real-world scenario they would surely be seduced. Why are you so experienced? So we must understand, filial piety is very important for an individual. If a person does not learn filial piety, it is unlikely for him to develop a grateful and righteous attitude towards life. Because no one can bestow upon us such deep kindness as our parents can, they have devoted themselves to our well-being, from the hardship of pregnancy and giving birth to nurturing and educating us. If a person does not develop gratitude and righteousness, how would he turn out to be? Many parents say, "My children have not learned to be good, but they have not learned to be bad either." Is there this kind of case? As a Chinese saying goes, learning is like a vessel sailing against the current, either advancing or moving backwards. What do we mean by against the current? Because today's society is like a huge dying vat. If we do not teach our children to be good, they are bound to learn to be bad. In the past, I have taught at schools in remote rural areas. Many people think that remote areas are less contaminated and the children there are more innocent. Actually, that is not necessarily the case. Because now there is a big demon that knows no bounds. Even if you live atop a mountain, it will go up there and tell you all kinds of wrong views. Who is this big demon? Television and the internet. Wow, how do you all know him so well? Correct, we must be highly alert. If we do not teach our children the right attitude and views, they will be contaminated by the wrong things, drop by drop, day after day. If we must let our children watch TV and use the internet, we must choose the right materials that will not contaminate their minds. If our children do not develop a sense of gratitude and righteousness, what will they develop? Self-interest. They will go to any lengths to get what they like and immediately turn against us when they dislike something. When their attitude towards others is all about self-interest, is this self-interest reliable? Unfortunately, it can change in an instant. Siblings may be on good terms with each other when no self-interests are involved. But the very next day, they may suddenly fight bitterly over the inheritance if their parents pass away. How could this man wholeheartedly devote himself to one girl for 3 years? What is the reason? For his own self-interest. You see, boys nowadays, when seeing a beautiful girl, they will chase her and do everything for her with no regrets or reluctance. If the girl is hungry and makes one phone call, even at midnight, he would immediately run out to buy some snacks for her. The purpose behind his action is his own interest. After the girl married him, let's say 3 years later, she gave birth to a lovely and healthy son for him. But her face began to show some wrinkles due to the tiring task of caring for a child. She is no longer as young and beautiful as before. This man went to work and saw a younger, prettier woman. What did the wife become? She is now at a disadvantage. Her husband is now chasing that younger girl. Because he has only self-interest in mind and regards his wife as a disadvantage, what he does affects the family and in turn the society. The divorce rate will increase. A high divorce rate has a direct impact on the education of the next generation. Not only will their child be affected after the divorce, the conflicts and inharmonious atmosphere between parents before the divorce will all have a deep negative imprint on this child. So conflicts between parents and divorce will cause lifelong trauma for their children. Moreover, a high divorce rate can trigger another severe social issue. That is a rising crime rate. I once interviewed a senior staff member of a prison in China. I asked him a question and he answered, between 60 to 70% of inmates came from broken homes. Without a wholesome family, the child will not have a good upbringing. Hence, the good foundation of his life is not solidly rooted. After he goes to school and enters society, when encountering negative conditions, such as bad influence from friends, his goodness may be uprooted immediately. He will be easily influenced by bad friends. So when a society's crime rate is increasing, dear friends, no matter how much wealth you have or how high your social status is, will you have any sense of security? Certainly not. Indeed, it is rare to come across somebody who truly feels safe in today's world. Today, when we walk down a street, like when I go to Haikou, how would I carry my backpack? We must carry it in front, right in front of our stomach, and walk carefully. Otherwise, what might happen? Some thief might snatch it from behind. The social disorder of today is an effect. My friends, what is the cause? The cause is the lack of stability in our households. Also, people nowadays do not learn filial piety and sages' teachings from a young age. So what is the root cause of inharmonious marriages nowadays? It is because we have never learned filial piety. Realizing this point, we should pay even greater attention to filial piety and sages' teachings. Instead of constantly complaining about a disorderly society, we should start from ourselves to teach our own children filial piety by setting an example. Moreover, when we see other children, we should also teach them to be filial to their parents. We must do our best to promote this important and correct life concept. In the classic of filial piety, Confucius gave us a very important teaching. Filial piety is the root of all virtues, and it is also where education originates. Filial piety is the root of all virtues. Education should start from here. Without learning filial piety, a person's virtues cannot be established. So the foremost important element of education is filial piety. My friends, let's read this sentence together one time. You will definitely have some new insights towards it. Okay, let's read it. Ready, go! Filial piety is the root of all virtues and it is where all education originates. Okay, now that we have found the root, the path is not far. Chinese ancestors said, a virtuous man devotes himself to practicing fundamental virtues. Once his fundamental virtues are established, Tao will emerge. There is a line in the Analects. Filial piety and fraternity are the roots of benevolence. so we must start teaching from filial piety. Our topic for this lecture is elaborating on 弟子规 in detail. 弟子规 is rooted in filial piety and fraternity. According to Confucianism, people who learn sages' teachings should be filial at home and respectful to others outside. Before we learn 弟子规, first of all, we should establish a correct learning attitude. Once it is established, our learning will be much more effective. As a proverb states, a good start is halfway to success. Education should place emphasis on aspiration. The ancients said setting a firm aspiration is the cornerstone of learning. We once ran a teacher training course for primary school teachers in Haikou. We set an aspiration with all the teachers in our first lesson. It is for the ancient sages we inherit and pass on their wisdom. For the future generations, we open up a gateway to peace. We often pray for world peace. World peace itself is an effect. What cause do we need to plant first? Each of us should first of all plant the seeds of benevolent thoughts and views. These views must be learned, must be taught through education. In other words, we must teach the wisdom of saints and sages. Opening up the gateway to peace is the effect, and to inherit and pass on the sages' wisdom is to plant the cause. Only when we carry forward the teachings of ancient sages can we inherit their wisdom to inspire the younger generations. The first step we need to take is to put it into practice in our daily lives. One of our teachers who teaches 5th grade, having this sense of mission, she sets aside 3 hours every day to deeply study classic sages' teachings outside of her normal teaching schedule. Every morning she arrives at her classroom very early and opens up 弟子规 and the classic of filial piety to read out loud. When her students walked in holding their breakfast, what were they preparing to do? They were preparing to take their time to eat their breakfast. Upon seeing that their teacher was sitting upright and reading out loud, they immediately walked to their seats, opened up their copies, and started to read aloud with her. My friends, what is the most important point of education? Set a good example. Because she put her heart into it, the academic performance and the sense of etiquette of her class had hugely improved. Noticing the change, her principal asked her, "How do you teach your class? Why is it so effective?" The teacher replied, "It is because I have invited hundreds of ancient sages to teach my children." Chinese have a book series titled Stories of the Virtuous, narrating the stories of over 700 ancient Chinese sages. It is categorized into 8 sections based on the 8 virtues, which are filial piety, fraternity, loyalty, trustworthiness, propriety, righteousness, honesty, and a sense of shame. This teacher told her students 2 or 3 stories every day. Thus, the children managed to emulate after listening to the stories of the sages. Moreover, she set class rules based on 弟子规. When the students who have done something wrong before being told by the teacher, they already knew which rule in 弟子规 they did not follow. For example, a child was running around in the classroom and accidentally knocked over a chair. He would remind himself of the lines in 弟子规, "When walking, we should be aware of our surroundings so as not to bump into anything. Avoid doing things in a hurry since acting in haste may lead to many mistakes." When children behaved badly, they would recall the lines, "If we accidentally make a mistake, it is an error. But if we do it on purpose, then it is an evil act. If we correct our faults and do not repeat them, the faults will no longer exist. If we try to cover them up, we will be doubly wrong." As a result, the children became courageous in admitting and correcting their mistakes, and they would not make excuses to cover for themselves. they will also recall, compromising our virtues will bring shame to our parents. Dear friends, if our children can remind themselves of the teachings in Di Zi Gui whenever they encounter a problem, they are bound to lead fulfilling and steady lives, and they will also become very influential. Having observed the great performance of that class, the principal took on board the effect of Di Zi Gui and twice invited teachers from our center to give speeches to all the teachers at his school. We also sent them copies of the book. You see, when a person aspires to pass on the great wisdom of ancient sages, his influence will keep expanding. Subsequently, his self-expectation and self-discipline will become higher and higher. In doing so, he will be able to live anew each day. We had been in contact with this teacher for about half a year before she joined me to give speeches and share her experiences. She contributes her experiences not only to her colleagues, but to the teachers and parents of other regions. That is to say, to continue the great wisdom of the ancient sages is certainly not something unattainable. The most important thing is whether we can genuinely bring forth our aspiration. If we aspire to inherit and pass on the sages' wisdom, we certainly should start with setting good examples for people closest to us. First of all, we must aspire to be good examples for our children. Dear friends, once you truly set this aspiration, I guarantee that you will turn out to be a completely different person. It is because you will become careful with what you say. As soon as you speak cunning, deceptive speech and foul language, you will be a bad role model for your children. So we must aspire to be good parents at home. What about at work? What must we aspire to be at work? To be good leaders, good colleagues. And in society, aspire to be good citizens. Once there was a teacher from our center who was riding on a bus. Upon seeing an elder board the bus, he stood up immediately and offered his seat to the elder. As soon as he had done so, four other passengers followed him to offer their own seats. Upon seeing this, he was so touched that he almost burst into tears. It proved for him that each one of us has a good nature. Therefore, when we aspire to improve the atmosphere of our society, I believe that we will be very careful with our every word and action, and will be more self-disciplined. Consequently, our moral standards and wisdom will also keep improving. This is aspiration. All of the children that we teach in Shenzhen are around 5 to 6 years old. Once we asked them, "What do you study for?" Do you know what their answer was? Their answer will always be the same: "To become a sage!" They even said, "What is the point of studying if it is not to become a sage?" Once 6 or 7 children walked back to their preschool together. On their way back, what were they doing? They were excitedly picking up trash. When they saw trash, they acted as if they had found treasure and felt that they were contributing to society. Everybody was competing to pick up the trash. At the same time, some middle schoolers had just finished class. These students were holding popsicles and other snacks in their hands, littering as they were eating. Suddenly, they saw a group of young children cleaning up litter. The trash that they were about to throw suddenly froze in mid-air and was never thrown down. One of the middle schoolers said to his classmates, "Let's not litter, even the young children are cleaning up after us." He said it in Cantonese. It turns out that only one of those 6 or 7 kids was Cantonese. After returning to the preschool, this classmate bragged valiantly, translating what the older boy said and proudly telling his classmates, "Those older boys saw us picking up the trash, so they stopped littering." This little boy felt in his heart that each of his words and actions can actually have an influence on society. Therefore, children should live by the motto, "Learn to be teachers of others and perfect our actions as good examples for society." Aspiration is like a person's purpose in life, a destination. As long as we set a proper aspiration, our lives will then not be wasted. Apart from setting aspirations, another very important attitude is essential for learning, which the ancients advised, practicing what we have learned is the cornerstone of learning. For each sentence of the sages' teachings that we have learned, we must put into practice. This is what we call cultivation and comprehension correspond to each other. Only by doing so, our virtues and wisdom will then keep improving. During the Tang Dynasty, there was an eminent monk known as Zen Master Niao Ke. Bai Zhiyi, a renowned poet of the same period, took a strong interest in Buddhism in his later years. He hoped to learn from this Zen master to elevate his own wisdom. When he met Master Niao Ke, he sought his advice on how do I learn Buddhism. The Chinese character of Buddha is derived from the Sanskrit word Bodhaya. Chinese people like simplicity and translated it into one character, Fo. It is a picto-phonetic character, one of the six methods to form Chinese characters. It means enlightened being, referring to a person who has the wisdom to see the truth of the universe and life. To study Buddhism is to learn to become a person who can see the truth. Master Niao Ke advised Bai Zhiyi that learning Buddhism is do no evil, cultivate all goodness. 8 words in Chinese. Upon hearing this advice, Bai Zhiyi burst into laughter and said, "Even a 3-year-old child knows that." My friends, did you know this when you were 3 years old? In the past, where were children taught the difference between good and bad, as well as how to act like a human being? Where? Not at school, but at home. This education was standard at home. In fact, Bai Zhiyi was not wrong, even a 3-year-old child knew this. Master Niao Ke replied, "But even an 80-year-old man may not be able to implement it." You see, the key to acquiring virtues and wisdom is not about how much we have read, but how much we have put into practice. We must establish this right attitude when learning sages' teachings in both self-learning and guiding our children. On March 15th last year, I was in Shenzhen to teach a class to the local teachers and parents. The next day, one of the local teachers invited me to give a class to the children at her preschool. I taught them Di Zi Gui. As soon as I entered their classroom, I said, "Hello, class. Today we are going to learn Di Zi Gui." To my surprise, all the children replied in unison, "Teacher, we have already learned that and know it by heart." My friends, what did learning Di Zi Gui bring to these children? It brought these children the sense of, "I have already learned to recite and knew that long ago." It gave them arrogance, not humility. This is why the correct guidance from a teacher is very important for children's learning. I wrote a Chinese character on the board, the character of Dao. I didn't argue with them, I just wrote this one character of Dao. I said, "Dear children, traditional Chinese culture is vast and profound. Chinese characters are the only characters in the world that can exhibit the philosophy and wisdom of life through their composition." I went on to explain that this is a compound ideograph character, one of the 6 methods to form Chinese characters. When you see this character, you will be able to discern the meaning within it. The left radical means carrying out, combined with the right radical meaning first. This single character alone tells us that a truly virtuous person is someone who can firstly implement the sages' teachings. The purpose of learning Di Zi Gui is to become a virtuous person. Then I asked, "Dear class, which sentence in Di Zi Gui have you put into practice?" Initially, they had all held their heads high with an air of arrogance. Upon hearing this, they lowered their heads, probably thinking, "When my parents call me, I should answer them right away, yet I had just talked back to my mom yesterday." they started to introspect. Afterwards, I taught them line by line how to put the teachings of Di Zigui into practice in their everyday lives at home. One of the children went home and wrote an entry in her diary. In the first sentence, she said, "Teacher Cai taught our class today. He told us that Di Zigui is for us to practice through our actions, not just a text for us to recite." My friends, for this child to write it down in her diary, it means that the attitude she learned in this lesson left her a deep impression. This impression is very possible to have a lifetime influence on her. There is a three-word admonition about education, that is, to make a cautious start. If a child pays great effort to practice what he learns from the very beginning, then the benefits he gains will certainly be different from others. There was another student who, after finishing my class, was also very diligent when she got home. The next morning, she got up early and stood outside of her parents' bedroom, waiting for them to come out. As soon as her parents came out, she greeted them with a bow and said, "Father, mother, good morning. Did you sleep well last night?" Her parents were utterly shocked. They immediately called up her teacher. They asked, "What happened yesterday? How come my daughter greeted me in the morning?" The teacher replied, "We learned two lines from Di Zigui yesterday. We should always greet parents in the morning and make sure that they sleep well at night." So is it difficult to teach children? They are actually very easy to teach. It is us adults who have not taught them. In Shantou, there was a 7-year-old child. He participated in a Di Zigui class offered by some volunteer teachers. After 1 or 2 months, the teachers organized an event to share children's learning with parents. They had each student share in front of the entire class what they had learned in this month or two and what improvements they had made. When this 7-year-old child went up in front of the class, the first sentence he said was, "Only after I learned Di Zigui did I know that to be a human I should actually be filial to my parents." My friends, this sentence is worth ruminating. I actually should be filial to my parents. The Book of Rites states, "Without learning, one would not know the Tao. Without learning, one would not know righteousness." Now a lot of parents get angry and berate. "How come this child is so immature, doesn't even understand this simple thing?" Well, the children really do not understand because nobody has ever taught them. We have to know what principles that we must teach our children as soon as possible. You see, the example of the child was taught we should always greet parents in the morning and make sure they rest well at night. She put it into practice the very next day. In addition, her parents know to immediately call the school. This action showed that they truly cared for their children's development. They also understood that to teach their child well, it is very important to work closely with the teachers. This kind of parent demonstrates the sensitivity to education. If they had felt strange and tested their daughter's forehead and asked, "Daughter, do you have a fever today? How come you have such good manners?" If they had done so, it probably would have killed this child's filial intention and enthusiasm of learning. So when your children learn Di Zigui, they prepare water for you to wash your feet. What should you do? You should not say, "Oh, no need to go through with so much trouble. What if you burn yourself?" With this kind of reaction, the opportunity for them to learn is rejected and cut off by you. Therefore, as parents, we must understand to cooperate with our children's teachers. We must understand to help children develop filial piety and develop their virtues. One mother asked me, "My child is so little, what if he knocked over the basin of water?" I replied, "That would be even better." She was very puzzled and asked, "Why would it be even better?" I answered, "In that case, apart from giving your child the opportunity to practice his filial piety, you can use this chance to teach him, 'Son, I am so touched by what you did, especially when you are still so young. Now let us think. Why did you knock over the basin of water? It must be that you did not hold the basin steadily. If holding it like this next time, you will not knock it over again. Come, let's clean up the floor together. At this moment, you can teach him how to hold things properly, how to deal with an accident, how to clean up, and how to solve an issue. So as parents, we should not worry too much or feel bad for them, because the more we let the children do, the more they can learn and understand. Okay, our class will stop here for now. Thank you. No copyright. Welcome to Circulate. Infinite merits to propagate. Filial to parents, respect to teachers. See you again.